This evening, for a little while, let's pretend. Some of us are hopefully not too old to pretend for a little bit. Let's pretend that you have been in court. We'll pretend that you have found guilty of a crime. Let's pretend that you are about to receive the judgment. You're going to stand before that judge and he's going to tell you what your sentence is. And you stand up and your attorney and the judge says your sentence is death. You will have the death penalty. You should have a cold chill right now. You should think, not me, can't be me. What went wrong? And you look at your lawyer and say, what are we going to do? I'd probably say, lawyer, you're fired. Go get me OJ's attorneys. I want them. I need help here. Okay, Laura, this is for you. Pena Dimitri. She told me you had to say that with forcefulness because it's scary when you hear that. I'm sure I messed it up, but I tried. So let's think today about the death penalty and how scary it is when we stand before our Lord and Savior. Here is when the death penalty started. We've been studying Genesis and Exodus, so this is kind of where my mind has been a little while. In Genesis 2 and 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. As we studied that, we know what happened. Eve was deceived, she gave to Adam, and they did eat. And I always thought, my goodness, they should have died immediately, right then and there. They didn't. Several years later, they died. What was the problem here? We see that the giver of life, and not long before that, God had just breathed into dirt and made man. So he gave man life. And now, here it is, he's giving the death sentence. The giver of life can also attach a death penalty, and we see that happening. So let's write this up here. When your students are in school, sometime something important will be wrote on the board. So we're going to write something important. If you noticed, I wasn't talking. Maybe I spelled it right. Disobedience will be punished. And that's what we see. Because of that sin, the death penalty is executed upon us. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because of that sin in the Garden of Eden, we have the death penalty. And it is executed upon us. Every one of you here is going to die. Unless Jesus comes again. Then you're going to be changed. Every one of you is going to die. We all think we're going to live forever, but it don't happen. Sister Nona is 101. That's the oldest person I know, or I've ever known. But we go to the cemetery and you see these graves. Oh, they were so young. Oh, they wasn't very old. We're all going to die. That's just part of it. God has made a law, pretty simple laws in Exodus 20 and 13. Thou shalt not kill. That's the law. What's the punishment? Leviticus 24 and 17. He that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. There's the law. There's the punishment. Not too complicated. Even I can understand this. So we want to look at a few offenses in the Old Testament that was punishable by death. Leviticus 20 and 10. Any man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. You know, when Brother Mandan was here, we done some studies on divorce, and he made a statement that I probably won't forget. Says so many times he didn't have to worry about a decree of divorcement because the spouse was dead. Killed them. They just went and killed them. That was his punishment. And that's one of the sexual sins. Look at this one. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they surely will be put to death. Their blood be upon them. God had a plan for the home. The man was head of the house. The woman was being submission. The children was raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not very complicated. It wasn't Adam and Steve. We don't have gay rights. We don't have lesbian rights. They was killed. That was God's plan. Pretty simple, isn't it? Leviticus 20 and 15. If a man lie with the beast, he shall surely be put to death. And ye shall slay the beast. Another sexual sin. God didn't tolerate all of that. Deuteronomy 22 and 23. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then they shall bring both of them out into the gate of the city, and they shall stone them with stones, that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city. And the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. Pretty simple execution for rape. God wanted evil put away from his children. We'll quote, evil communication corrupt good manners. This is the way he put away evil from among his children. He dealt swiftly. He dwelt with them pretty severely. Look at another case or two. Leviticus 20 and 16. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Okay, congregation, gather rocks. We're going outside of Maxie's, and we're going to put so-and-so to death. That's what happened back then. All the congregation went out. Pick up rocks. We're going to stone them when we get outside the city. Pretty harsh. Pretty cruel. The giver of life can also execute the death sentence. Disobedience will be punished. Deuteronomy 13 and 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave to him. This is what God wanted. Listen to him, fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, serve him, cleave to him. This is what God intended for us to do. Look at verse 5. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, and thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Even those that was tried to pull people away from God, even those that say, hey, the Lord God spoke to me, we're supposed to do this, not what God said. Take them out and stone them, kill them. He didn't want evil among his children. So that death penalty was executed quite often. I think we got one more. Leviticus 20 and 27. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones and their blood shall be upon them. And then Exodus 22 and 18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. I don't know a witch, but I do hear about people that are Satan worshipers. I probably put this in the same category. God didn't want his people even mixed up with evil. He didn't want them influencing them. Take them out and kill them. Let's get off of this. I don't know whether this is all the offenses that have a death penalty. It really don't matter. We covered plenty. Let's look at a few cases on how it was carried out. You know, when I think about carried out, I think about the Westerns and the guys are rustling and they've caught him, they tie his hands, put him on his horse and shoot a gun or slap the horse and they hang him. You know, I think about that. We've read about stoning, how they did quite often. Let's look at a couple more we've already studied about earlier in Genesis 6 and 17. And behold, I do bring flood waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, therein the breath of life from under heaven. I think I misread that. Start over. And behold, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. We've studied about Noah. We studied about the flood and how that a multitude on the earth was destroyed because they was evil. Still goes back to this. They had disobeyed God's law. They was destroyed by water. Look at another instance. A little later in Genesis 19 and 24. Then the Lord rained from Sodom upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Sodom and Gomorrah was full of a lot of these sexual sins that we read about. And God destroyed those cities. Here was multitudes of people again that was destroyed. God destroyed them. They was evil. He put evil away from his people. And we have Lot and his wife leaving. You know, I feel a little bit sorry for Lot's wife. I think his Beverly and I was talking. You know, we see a fire and we look and, well, let's go check it out. And it's always further than we think it is. But when I think about Lot's wife, what has she did wrong? She looked back. What can hurt in looking back? I bet she had friends there or acquaintances anyway. What could it hurt to look back? Cost her life to look back. How many of us today would be a pillar of salt? I mean, that wouldn't, I don't see what it hurt to look back, but God told her not to. Disobedience will be punished. That's the bottom line. I think there's one more. 2 Samuel 6 and 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. This is a familiar passage. What was his error? I think his brother Jace, and he talked about Exodus and how they used to build the ark. That ark was supposed to be carried on by men, maybe through rings with staves to it or poles or something. It's supposed to be carried by hand. Uzzah had it on a cart. Maybe they had invented the wheel since this. Maybe they ought to update the scriptures. What could it hurt? It'd be faster on a cart. That ox might not get as tired as the men. They had it on a cart. What could it hurt? It hurt Uzzah. He died. God is particular on how he wants things done. He gives a commandment. You break it, you're punished. That's pretty simple. Think about this. Revelations 22 and 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which were written in this book. What did Uzzah do? Added. Cost him his life. So we're going to have to change something. Maybe. We'll do it this way. So we change this now. Disobedience always will be punished. Think about this now. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My thought is this is going to be kind of like the judgment. God will be having these religious folks come in and they say, you know, we done all this. We done all these good things. We fed the poor. We visited the sick. We give people food, drink. We done all these things, Lord. And he'll say, I don't know you. I don't know you. You did not follow my law. You were disobedient. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of our Lord and from the glory of his power. Here's something that kind of sticks out to me. Vengeance. You know, to me, vengeance is a little different than punishment. A parent may punish his child and give him a busting. Vengeance is a little different. I mean, that's really getting after the punishment, in my opinion. That means inflict pain, harm. And we see that's what's going to happen to the disobedient. They're going to be punished severely. What is the punishment? In Matthew 13:41, "And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." You know, I've sat with some brothers that were dying, and they were in pain. I don't know that they was wailing and gnashing of teeth, but I know we was giving them medication. We was trying to help them. When we're in the furnace of fire, we're not going to push the call button and say morphine. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be pleasant. I think it's going to be out of this world. I don't think we can bear it. So many times you get hurt severely, you pass out. Reckon we'll pass out. How long will this punishment be? Revelation 20:10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Tormented day and night. Tell me how long forever is and ever. How long is forever and ever? Can anybody explain that to me? Well, we say eternity, and we say, how long is it? You know, we was talking this week, and I've got grandparents that was born in the 1800s. Can't remember the name. I probably got great-great-grandparents that was born in the 1700s. Can't remember the name. Adam and Eve started all this death penalty over 6,000 years ago, and that's a drop in the bucket compared to ever and forever. A drop in the bucket. That's a little bit. We can't imagine what forever and ever is, and be in torment all of that time, and never, ever get relief. We think about a fire burning stuff up. Well, God's going to make it where it don't burn up. You don't burn up. You just hurt forever and ever. Hard to imagine. Be harder to endure it and go through it. The judgment is final. We go back to the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16:26. "And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify in them, lest they should also come to this place of torment." Just a little earlier, he had asked for a drop of water, not a bottle, a drop of water. He was tormented in that flame. But he was told, there's a great gulf between us. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. He wants his family warned, don't come to this place where I am. You don't need to be here. It's too bad. It hurts too bad. It lasts forever. Don't come here. Please warn them. We're getting warned today. Don't go to that place. There's no appeal and no pardon. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, for everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I think I can probably talk and spell these, but I'll do it right. This is what we have waiting for us. one of these days. You know, there was a show on the radio quite a while back, may still be, and it was Paul Harvey. And he'd be telling all this stuff in a little bit, and he said, but here's the rest of the story. So here's the rest of the story today. You will be pardoned if you obey God's laws. Why can you do that? One, you're still alive. There's no one here in this room that's dead at this moment. Everybody has got their blood flowing, they're breathing, they're taking in oxygen, you're alive. I don't see Jesus with his angels taking vengeance. So we got a little chance. We can still not have to go to the bad place, the place of torment. So let's look at this. And it's something all of you know so well. In Luke 11:28, it says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I ask you, are you willing to hear and keep the word of God today? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh from God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or you wouldn't be here. I believe you believe that. In Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are you willing to accept God and follow him and not live sinfully? That's what repent is. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Have you seen people come to the front? And then someone will ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And they say, yes, or I do. That's all there is to that. That's all you do. Mark 16:16, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You've seen that too. We go back in the room. You put on a change of clothes. We go down the water. You go completely underwater. You're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost for remission of sins. You come up a new creature. You're a Christian. You're good. God will reward the good. That's all there is to it. You have been pardoned. Your sins are washed away. Now, let me say this today. I was baptized twice. I did not really know if I'd done it right the first time. I was baptized again. I don't want to be wrong. The cost is too great. The pain is too great. So I'm telling you today, if you have a doubt about your baptism, let's do it again. That's not a big deal. Let's make sure it's right. You can't afford to be wrong. It hurts too bad. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I am everything but perfect. I mess up. I sin. I fall short. Sometimes we have to pray for each other. That is the way God planned it. When we mess up, confess our faults and pray and get back up and go again. Keep trying. Will you get right with God today? Here's what happens when you come down the aisle. There's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing here. It's the happiest day in your life. You'll never forget it. Did you hear me? We're going to rejoice. Heaven is going to rejoice. The happiest day in your life, you will never forget it. One more verse. James 1:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. When you stand before the Lord and He has the book of life and He looks at it, says, yes, you've obeyed the gospel. You've lived the way I've told you to. You will not be punished. And He closes the book. You don't get another chance.